Ladies and gentlemen,
it Friday.
Anything goes today. 710 ESPN and Subaru hosting our inaugural holiday long drive-a-thon to support the Folds of Honor Foundation. Every donation provides scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. The event is taking place Friday, December 9 at Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda. To celebrate Veterans Day, we're giving spots to our holiday long drive-a-thon event. Here's how you win. Post a picture with you in your service uniform. Then tag at ESPN Los Angeles and include hashtag Veterans Day ESPN LA. We'll also be sharing photos on our social platforms to thank everybody who has served America. So remember, today is Veterans Day. So it is National Singles Day. National Singles Day. And whose birthday is it? None other than Leonardo DiCaprio, America's greatest bachelor, right?
Yep, just keeps recycling different women of a certain age limit.
Yes, right. 25, goodbye. That's essentially the rule. Now, did you like being single?
At times, yes. At times, no.
Okay.
It can be exhausting.
Yeah.
If you are... looking for love in all the wrong places, it can be an exhausting thing to do. Starting relationships, like being in a long-term relationship and maintaining one, is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Like actually having your relationship work is constant work. That's the dirty little secret they don't tell you about relationships.
Right.
Starting a relationship, though, is a lot of work. It's just a different type of work. It's like you're sort of always on trying to present the best version of yourself. You're always trying to read the other person because you don't know them well enough.
Do they like it? Do they like me? Do they not like
As opposed me? To when you're in a long-term relationship, you're always trying to read the other person because you're trying to figure out, what did I screw up?
That's my life.
Yeah.
Yes. What did I screw up? What am I doing wrong?
Yep.
Yeah, that's... Who runs your house?
It depends
you
on the what.
Anna.
In terms of organizationally, 100% me.
Really?
I keep the trains running in our house.
That's impressive.
Yes. In terms of who runs it with getting their way, Anna.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, I don't even know when the trains arrive. I have not only do I not run the trains, I'm not even sure when they're going to get there.
At the risk of propping myself up too much, if I were not the conductor, that train would have Casey Jones'd a long time ago.
Do you like being single, Bergman?
Yes, I do. I like being able to go home to an empty house. I like being able to do whatever I want whenever I want. And I like not having to tell anybody, like, hey, I'm going to go do this tonight.
I like you just to do it.
I just do my own thing. Yeah. I love it.
You won't be single for the rest of your life.
No, probably not. But, it won't be for love.
Oh, right. And it's going to be for money.
Probably not.
I will say, though,
I love being single.
That's the thing, actually, Greg just touched on that I miss the most in terms of, and this is a different dynamic with you, Mace, because you and Juan don't have kids.
Correct.
Like the ability to just say, screw it. I'm going to go see a movie at 3:15. I don't need to worry about a child's schedule or somebody else's. Like that, you lose spontaneity in a lot of ways once you have children, because children need routines.
Right.
Like you have to keep them on schedules at all times.
And you're the one that does that.
Fair amount of it.
Wow.
I do a fair amount of it. I mean, To be fair to my wife, in part, her work has less flexibility than mine.
Okay.
So in some ways, like I'm the one that has an easier time running certain errands, picking up my daughter from school, taking her to volleyball, that sort of thing. It's just easier for me than her. It's not that she doesn't want to.
Right. What about you, Jorge? Did you like being single?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved it.
Why'd you settle down? Fell in love?
No, well, I mean, it just came out of nowhere, It's like you don't expect it to come. Like you're just out there having fun, doing your thing. And then when that right person comes, I mean, it sounds cliche-ish and whatnot, but I didn't go to the bar looking for Brenda, you feel me? Like she just, we just met, we clicked, and we kept talking after that, and 11 years later.
Here we are. And you just had your anniversary,
right? Yeah, Tuesday.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
How long have you and Anna been together?
Let me do the math quickly in my head. We've been married 13 years, I guess together like 16?
And I've been 16.
Okay.
16. So at some point it just becomes that's...
Well, I remember like when we moved in together before we actually got married. And I remember realizing like once you've been living with somebody,
right,
getting married feels absolutely no different other than, you know, if this falls apart, there's a lot more paperwork.
Yeah.
Like there's more logistics involved with if this thing goes sideways, as opposed to just you're dating, you break up, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel really any different.
I think being single is like a full-time job.
It can be.
I mean,
depends
it was
on how you use it.
It was for me. It was a full-time job. I could, this one and that one and try and doesn't work and try another and doesn't work.
Right,
go
but
there.
Saying, but you're saying trying. What were you trying? Were you trying to find someone?
Yeah, I was trying to connect.
Okay well, dating
that's
is
different.
A, yeah, dating is a full-time job. Being single is not. Being single and just living your life is one thing.
But if you're single, aren't you looking for that?
Not always.
No, not necessarily.
You
I
actually,
wasn't looking.
I was always looking for it.
No. See, you have to be going on dating, like getting on dating apps and doing all that.
I
is
get
a
all that.
Lot of work. Yes.
But I get all that.
Your question to me and to everybody else was, did you enjoy being single?
Right.
So that's different than do you enjoy dating?
Right.
I hate
right.
dating. Dating sucks.
Yes.
Yeah, well, dating is the worst.
Well, that's what I was talking about. Like in the beginning of relationships is a lot of work and it feels like very stressful work. And then as you go on, it's a different type of stress. Like, but in the beginning, you just feel like you're on at all times.
At all times, right.
Like, because you are basically getting evaluated.
Right.
Like, you're constantly trying
out. You're being
out.
Judged.
Yeah, you're auditioning.
Yeah, exactly. So, congratulations to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
He used to be...
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He used to be George Clooney was, like, America's Greatest Bachelor. Now it's definitely Leonardo.
You know, Clooney, and I don't remember... if it was Nicole Kidman or Julia Roberts, but he bet somebody that he would never have kids.
Right.
Never be married, never have kids, and he has both now. He has a wife and children.
Nice.
So you never know. Yeah. DiCaprio seems like he's going to keep this up.
He'll settle down.
You think he will?
Clooney always said he wouldn't settle down, and he did.
But Clooney had been married before. Like, he actually had been married
right.
and divorced, like, early in his life.
See, I'm not going to be married. I'm not going to get married.
Oh, you think that changes things?
What's that?
Think that changes things?
For me, it's just a superstition.
Right.
That all of a sudden, because I have a friend who they lived together for a long time and then they got married and then they broke up 6 months later. I'm like, I think it was the pressure of the piece of paper that actually screwed up that relationship.
I get superstitious. Like, Anna used to be in my phone just as Anna. And then, like, years after we got married, she discovered that I had not put in there, like, wife, which, you know, a lot of people do just, like, in case, you know, an emergency, you're in a car accident, you're knocked out, they know who to call. And she's like, why haven't you changed that? And I said, I get superstitious. I don't want to jinx even that. And she eventually said, like, no, you need to put in there wife, like, just for safety reasons. And so I'm no longer offended.
Same here. I got the same picture from a date that we went to and just a B, and that's it. Like, I don't change that.
Yeah, Singles Day. So if you're single, have a good time tonight.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
Okay, so I wanted to get to this because if you're a Dodgers fan, it is important. It appears as though, and John Heyman is reporting, that the Dodgers have reached an agreement with Clayton Kershaw to return for the 2023 season, which I think is the right thing. Not only, and I don't like to think of this as, for example, we use the term legacy contract. I don't think of this as a legacy contract. I think of this as we need a second starter contract.
I think of it as both. Like, yeah. I think he earned this. He had a really good season last year, and it was especially good considering a couple of years before that he had health issues.
Yep.
You weren't always sure what you were going to get from Kershaw. So I think it's achievement first, but I think it's also an acknowledgement of, we want Clayton Kershaw to be a lifer with this organization.
Right.
Like, I think it's an acknowledgement of that. I just think in this particular case, it's achievement first.
Yeah, I do too. And it's the right move. And if you think forward to the rotation next year, you're probably going to have an open rotation spot, fifth spot in the rotation. They're going to figure out. But with Dustin May and Julio Urias and Clayton Kershaw and Tony Gonsolin, you've got a really good 1-2-3-4. Not in that order, but a really good 1-2-3-4. Urias is definitely the one. All right, let me do this. There. Okay, so I came across this this morning. I go back and forth on Aaron Rodgers. Because you know what? Part of it is he goes on that Pat McAfee show all the time, and he talks and rambles and says stuff. And I was watching a clip today where he's like saying, yeah, my receivers ran into each other, and that's why there was an interception. So Greg Jennings, who is a former teammate of both Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Remember, that was the complaint about Brett Favre, was he always blamed everybody else for his problems. Listen to what this is on the Craig Carton
really
show.
Really interesting considering his problems right now.
Oh, yeah, especially now, right. And here is Craig Carton, who is a host, talking to Greg Jennings, who was a teammate of both Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
But the team sees that. They read
That's
it.
Carton.
And it does come a point, I don't care if you're a rookie or a veteran wide receiver, where you get tired of that.
Yeah.
You get tired of it's always our fault and it's never your fault, right?
Yes.
That does get tiresome.
It does. I mean, so in my time, I was able to blessed to be able to play with both Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre.
And by the way, this past Sunday was a Brett Favre imitation, right?
Yeah.
Wildly throwing the ball everywhere, like, with no care at all for being intercepted.
Like Brett, he was one of those guys that he never got. No one ever thought it was his fault.
Right.
And at some point, we understood, like, Brett Favre, he's the face of the NFL, blah, 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 when I first came in. But it grows old when you know that you're making mistakes. Are you even going to tell anybody that you're making mistakes? Or are you going to allow everybody to assume it's just us? And you grow into those things. I recall a young Aaron Rodgers identifying that. And say, I'm never going to do that.
Right.
I'm not going to be that.
Oh.
Yeah. And then you grow. You have success. And everybody starts to tell you how great you are. And you forget that the guys in the locker room are your greatest accountability.
Okay. Right. So accountability, I think, is the issue here. And I think it's an issue in life, right? I mean, somebody always has to, I don't want to say take the fault, but take accountability, right? Something screwed up. It's on me. I don't know why more people don't just take accountability and say, whenever there's a problem, like Aaron Rodgers is blaming his receivers for running into each other, and that's why he threw an interception. It's like accountability. It's on me. That's the one thing I always give Sean McVay credit for. He is the ultimate accountability guy. I need to do a better job. I should have called that play differently. I should have started. I mean, he's the, I need to put guys in a better position to be successful. He's the ultimate accountability guy, and it sounds like Aaron Rodgers is not.
Well, that's, by the way, when you knew that Sean McVay was just over Jared Goff, because he started shifting from, I got to put Jared in a better position to be successful,
to Jared's got to put me in a better position
exactly.
to be successful.
Like
yeah.
Jared needs to get his bleep together, in so many words. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of Rodgers, there's an accountability that he seems like often just doesn't take, period.
Right.
Like, you know, we saw with the whole thing with the COVID and the vaccination and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Where put aside whether or not you think his choice was okay, not okay, whatever, he clearly wasn't willing to take accountability for it, because in the beginning, remember, he answered the question with semantics, saying, I've been immunized.
Yeah.
As opposed to, because he knew what he was being asked. He knew he was being asked, have you been vaccinated or not?
And he tried to skirt the question.
Right, exactly. And then he got mad, basically, when he got outed, essentially, because he tested positive.
Right.
And details started coming out about how he hadn't been vaccinated.
Right.
And rather than take accountability for, you know, not even for the decision to get vaccinated or whatever, but just like, hey, I wasn't honest about this in the beginning, he kept digging himself deeper and deeper and, you know, throwing out the knowledge that he understands that the rest of us peons would never get.
Right.
And you just dig yourself further and further in it. It's like Kyrie right now.
Yes, it's
the
like
situation
Kyrie right
Kyrie's
now.
Going through.
Yeah. Do we want to do that, Bergman? It's Effort Friday. Do you want to do?
No.
Okay.
Not looking to go there. I'm just saying it as an example.
Accountability. This show, Mason in Ireland, is a show we hold each other to high standards. And when things go wrong, we blame Greg.
Yeah.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Especially
well,
Ireland.
I mean, you are...
Accountability.
Yeah, you are being accountable to each other to identify honestly the problem. It's Bergman.
It's Bergman.
I
when
am
something
the problem.
Goes wrong, it's Bergman. You know, so I called the Rams season. I said, you know, I can't imagine this is a playoff team. And yet, I look at the schedule, And I think to myself, all right. By the way, we have no answer on Matthew Stafford. We don't know if Matthew Stafford's going to play. They say he's progressing through the concussion protocol. It sounds like it would be John Wolford if it's not Matthew Stafford. I think a lot of us would rather see Bryce Perkins just because he brings a different dimension to the offense. But they're home against the Cardinals on Sunday, and Kyler Murray is also questionable for that game. The Rams own the Cardinals. I'm going to chalk that up as a win.
Probably.
Rams at Saints.
Saints are not very good.
Winnable game. And all of a sudden, you're 5-5. And then are you back in it?
Could be. It depends on how you... I think in a lot of ways, it depends on how you win. Like, did you win because you looked like you started figuring some things out? Or did you win because you were playing the Cardinals and the Saints?
Well, you know, I chose to look at that game on Sunday in a different way. Offensively, we're completely inept. Defensively, we are a really good defensive team.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, you can tell from, like, Jalen Ramsey's comments afterwards, the defense is over saving the offense.
Yeah, the offense is broke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's broken right now. And I don't know if it's not the right weapons. You know, Van Jefferson has not done anything so far. He was really good last year. The offense is essentially Cooper Kupp. We don't have a running back. I mean, Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson just don't get it done. So you've got to be a throw-first offense, and Cooper Kupp is your offense. Allen Robinson has not been much of a factor.
It's amazing to me how he still manages to be so open and so prolific when at this point, you know, just concentrate on Cooper Kupp, take your chances with everything else, and yet he still manages to compile all these catches and yards and touchdowns. He's a really, really great receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when he was a rookie, you could see promise in him. You know, there's always the assumption, like, smaller white guy that he's just going to be the scrappy
Eastern
possession
Eastern Washington.
Guy. Yeah, yeah, Eastern Washington. This is before you knew, like, he comes from a football family. Like,
yep.
I think his grandfather was in the NFL. Like,
he ran a faster 40 than Jerry Rice.
Right, exactly. But you buy into all the stereotypes and the surface evaluations, all that. He's a great player.
He's just a great player.
He's a great blocker.
Yep.
Like, I mean, he can do those jet sweeps. Like, he's just a great, great player that is getting no help.
So, I'm optimistic about Sunday. I think we win that game on Sunday, Stafford or not. Hopefully it is Stafford. Chris Rock is doing something interesting. You sent this over today, which is pretty fascinating. And then you got a choice. You want exorcism or social media influencer getting in trouble?
Let's take the social media influencer getting in trouble.
We will do that. Coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, ESPN LA and Subaru have teamed up to recognize and award a student scholar athlete $2,500 in cash for all you high school coaches and parents. Nominate your child or student who has excelled in the classroom and on the field. He or she needs to be a high school senior who has a 3.2 grade point average or higher in playing a sport. Go to ESPNLA.com. That's ESPNLA.com to make your nomination today. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. So one person on Twitter I wanted to respond to, this is in the Mason and Ireland Mafia. They say, I think Venice May still doesn't understand what being single really means. There are plenty of people who enjoy being by themselves, and there are also people who cannot be by themselves and need to be with someone. Mason is the latter.
Is
I was single for a long time.
But you never wanted to be single.
I was always looking.
You were always looking, right?
I was always shopping. Sometimes I was just renting.
So, I mean, I'm still shopping right now, and I still go out, and I still look, and I do the whole, all the apps and all that and other nonsense. But I enjoy being single. I don't need to go on it. I'll take breaks for like months at a time where I don't.
Where you don't date at all.
At all, because I don't want to.
Now, I know there are people like, I got around.
Humble brag.
I dated around a lot.
I was
it wasn't always for serious.
Look, I had offers. I had opportunity.
I could have decided the 60 or the 605.
I mean, the amount of...
Oh, it was crazy.
The amount of action that I was just
such
faced with.
Action, yeah. Oh. No, if you're single, I'm not, you know, disparaging people who are single. If
I'm just saying you couldn't have lived my lifestyle.
Right. You don't have to be with someone, I guess, is the bottom line.
No, and honestly, it's a little bit better not being with somebody.
Okay.
I'll take your word for it.
Depending on the day.
For you.
For me, yes. Yeah.
Look, there are people, though, who you can tell cannot stand to be alone.
Yeah.
They hate the idea of not being in a relationship, not being judgmental. They just need to be in one at all times. They are constantly looking. They don't like being alone.
Yeah, and I get that. I get that, too. So, anyway, congratulations on your singleness, and I'm glad you're enjoying it, and have fun with it. All right, so this is an interesting story. There is a social media influencer.
I do not want to work for the rest of my life. Does it look like I want to get up at 6 a.m. every day for the next 60 years? No. I'm too pretty for that.
Too pretty for that. Now, that's not related to the story. It's just a piece of sound that I really like. So,
it's an awful piece of sound.
It is funny.
It's funny.
It is funny. That's the only reason we play it. So there is a social media influencer. Let me see if we got her name. Her name is Katie Sigmund. She's 20 years old. And she's on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
So TikTok is where you go to do extreme things or silly dances or, you know, whatever to get attention. And we live in a TikTok generation.
Yep. Yes, we do.
So Katie decided, she apparently is a golfer, she decided that she would hit a couple of balls into the Grand Canyon. So she went to the edge of the Grand Canyon.
Oh, lady.
And started hitting drives. The Grand Canyon National Park posted about it on Facebook. They started by asking, do we really need to say don't hit golf balls into the Grand Canyon? She is apparently law enforcement is now looking for this girl. It's a national park. You can't just hit balls into it.
This is a prime example of how social media has created a culture, but specifically a generation of people who cannot do anything without an audience.
Yes.
Because I'm not saying that I wasn't necessarily dumb enough when I was younger to hit a golf ball into a Grand Canyon. I just would have had the common sense to say, don't let anybody else see me do this.
Right.
Like, that's the bigger part.
When we were growing up, you would do things you weren't supposed to do, but the whole goal was don't let anybody see you do it.
I heard these guys talking the other day, the morning guys, who Taylor was from back east, and so they used to have snowstorms and stuff. And I come from where there was snow, and we would always make snowballs and try to hit a car and then hide in the bushes. I mean, but I wasn't going to put that on TikTok.
No, absolutely not.
And by the way, don't do that. If you happen to be listening in the Midwest or the Northeast
or at any point
and it snows, do not throw snowballs at cars.
I had a big area in front of my house that had a big old tree that you could hide behind, and we would throw rocks at the cars that were going by. It was terrible.
Oh, that's rough.
Don't ever do that, but...
You didn't put it on TikTok.
No, of course not.
Don't film yourself doing it.
Right, film yourself doing something stupid.
Yeah, it's called evidence against you. By the way, she's got 2.9 million followers.
That's going to make it easy for the cops to find her.
The cops are going to hard to locate get followers her. Anymore, is it?
I have a friend who took a, what do they call it when they've got those rocks that are like prehistoric?
Prehistoric
the
rocks.
Red
lava rocks.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Geosites?
Petrified forest.
Okay.
Petrified wood.
So they go to the petrified forest and they take some, like a piece of it, and they bring it home and they put it on their mantle. And some friends were over and said, you can't take things out of the petrified forest. It is a national park. And that person drove back and put that rock back.
Didn't.
They absolutely did put that back in the petrified forest.
I mean, how big was that rock? It had to have been the size of like 3 inches.
Size
of a mouse?
Yeah. Took it back.
Like a computer mouse?
Yeah, a computer mouse.
That's
a,
you took it back.
Took it back.
No one's going to be like, hey, where's that rock?
No, no, but it's a moral thing. It's an ethical thing.
Rules are rules, Greg.
You don't take stuff from the petrified forest. It's a national park.
I went there and I took a bunch of them.
No, you didn't.
Do you still have them? Of course I do.
You should take those back.
I'm not driving back to Arizona to put rocks back.
I'm reporting you.
You know what? I've taken seashells from beaches in Hawaii.
Well, that's different.
Should I give that
seashells
back too?
Are okay.
Why is that
but
okay?
But the petrified forest is a national park.
Well, it doesn't matter.
You're stealing stuff from a national park.
I mean, do you just walk into museums and just grab the art?
No, that's a museum.
Yeah, I took this Monet.
Right.
I grabbed this Monet while I was there.
If it's a national park, it is the wildlife equivalent to a museum. You're just like stealing Monets out of the petrified forest.
That 1 3-inch rock is a Monet. Man. Listen to what we're talking about here.
Well, I mean, it's no different.
Yeah.
The girl hitting golf balls into the Grand Canyon.
Okay, somebody's
going to
notice the Monet missing. Nobody's going to notice two rocks
missing. Right, but do you agree that the
Enough people have that attitude, all of a sudden all the rocks are gone.
And by the way, the rocks are gone. All the petrified wood rocks are gone.
If you put a picture of your petrified wood on Instagram, the Petrified Forest National Park would come after you the way they're going after the girl.
I dare you
to
do it.
Like it's Bookman and Seinfeld?
Do it,
Such a victimless crime, Greg. Why don't you post this thing?
National Park.
You know what? I might just do that.
Do that.
You know they say you're cursed if you steal stuff, like the petrified wood or the rocks?
Lindsay, I'm with you. 100%.
Volcanic rocks from Hawaii heard that you're cursed.
They said that there's thousands of people over the years, the National Park Service, that have written letters apologizing for taking the things and sending them back because all the bad luck that they experienced after stealing it.
You know what? God. I mean, I have bad luck before and after the rocks, it's not changing
this
anything.
This is why Lindsay's Lindsay. She knows stuff.
She knows way more about that stuff than I do, that's for sure.
Good take.
So Lindsay,
I watch a lot of documentaries.
You do. You watch every documentary.
Have you ever been to the Petrified Forest?
Nope.
Would you take a rock from the Petrified Forest?
No, because I've listened to podcasts and I've seen documentaries about this exact thing, and there's seriously people that think they're cursed because of it.
Bergman, you're cursed.
Obviously.
All right, coming up next for you, Andy, you've got a little Lakers nugget that's floating around that we should chew on a little bit. Plus, we've got Bobcat coming up for you, Mason in Ireland. It's not just any day.
It's Friday.
That's right, 710 ESPN.
Hey, y'all, second sound.
And thanks a lot for coming out to Bastard's Canteen yesterday for what turned into the twerk-off, as it's come to be known, me versus Kaplan.
It was quite the sight.
It was. Andy, I felt bad for you because I don't feel like you were.
I don't feel like we properly thank those veterans for their service with that.
Today's Veterans Day, and we obviously, it's really important day to recognize whoever in your life has served their country. It's something that I've never done. You've never done. I mean, you guys are heroes, you do it for all of us, and we're grateful, incredibly grateful. All right, so
grateful that you thank them by putting your ass up in the air and shaking it around.
I mean, come on, you gotta have a gag. You gotta have a gag when you go out for the people. It is the video is everywhere. So if you haven't seen it, try to avoid it. Let's see. So Lakers play tonight. Lakers play Sacramento Kings tonight at Crypto.com Arena. And
amidst protests?
Protests. Yeah, there's some guy saying we're going to protest till after they lose the game. Did it in all caps on Twitter.
At Lakers Rise. We think the real one.
Yeah, and I predict 7 people.
That's a lot.
You think 7 is high?
I think that's high. I think it's going to be this, what's his name? Like...
At Lakers Rise.
At Lakers Rise.
At Laker Rise. It's going to be him and his brother. And it might be, you know, some like a significant other of some sort.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
If you miss this, the way it goes down is at Lakers Rise in all caps. And he's getting much more play than I'm sure he expected.
Yeah, because you're talking about him.
Because I think it's just kind of funny that in all caps he would call for a protest outside Crypto.com Arena tonight. It's a little early for a protest. In fact, what are you doing? There's no, you don't protest. You can't. You can have a protest, but I mean,
at 2-9, is it really too early?
Yeah. Here's what it reads. Oh, Laker Nation, ESPN Radio talked about today's protest at Crypto Arena. The clear and concise messages for change, roster upgrades. We need you guys to come out, share your voice. There is strength in numbers. Seven people. Seven people. Now, you've got a take that, is it Chris Haynes?
Yeah, Chris Haynes from Bleacher Report, one of the best NBA reporters out there. He's got a piece up right now talking about how, you know, internally they're trying to figure out what to do, if they're going to make a move. You know, the Lakers have very few assets. They have those 27, 29 first-round picks and Russell Westbrook's deal. That's basically it. Reading from some of this quote, the organization is facing a critical decision in the James era, a decision that could prompt key players to sour on the direction of the franchise's league sources tell Bleacher Report. LeBron James, who turns 38 next month, year 20 of his NBA career, does not want to waste a season of his high-level playing days in hopes of incoming reinforcements for the 2023-2024 campaign. Sources say other core players on the roster would likewise prefer those picks to be used to elevate this year's team. That's the burdensome decision Pelinka now faces, with the team's trajectory trending south. Sources indicate the front office is unlikely to attach those picks to a potential trade out of concern that such a transaction would not significantly change the course of the season.
And there is the
dilemma.
There's a dilemma. The dilemma is the current players, this core group, you know, obviously Anthony Davis and LeBron and Westbrook and those guys.
Well, I don't know how Russ feels.
Maybe not Russ, because he's the one that could be going out. But there is a debate now. Do they do nothing or do they do something? And I would argue at 2-9, you probably should just let it roll. I mean, the whole thing at the beginning was, let's wait 20 games. I think that's actually a reasonable target now. 20 games in.
Well, as we talked about earlier, like if the target is Bradley Beal, you can't get him till mid-January anyway because of the extension you just signed.
But like that trade for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, we assume is just laying there, Westbrook there, along with the 27 and 29 picks.
But you got to remember, other teams can bid on Miles Turner and or Buddy Hield as well. It's like that's the risk you run if you don't do this before the season starts and teams start getting an idea of what they have or what other teams around the league are doing. You take that risk if you don't pull the trigger before the season begins.
Yeah, do they do something? And I would argue that no matter what they do, they're not going to be a championship caliber team.
Most likely.
You're trading away your assets. Number one picks in 27 and 29, I think it includes pick swaps and all that stuff.
Maybe.
Bergman, do you do something or nothing?
I mean, I don't know what else. There is nothing to do except for moving. And actually, I would do something. I would move Anthony Davis.
Like that's what I would do, too. Yeah, I would move
I think
Anthony
at
Davis.
This point, we are at a situation where it's not going to get better this year. It doesn't have anything that nothing can really happen that much next year to get better. And if you're not going to be better this year, you're bad last year, you're not going to be good next year. It's time to start breaking it all up and start moving on. And Anthony Davis is the biggest piece that you can get because you cannot trade LeBron until the offseason.
Well, so, and I don't think necessarily trading LeBron is on the table at this moment.
You can't do it.
You can't by CBA rules.
Correct.
Do it right now.
But moving Anthony Davis, you can do. And I am personally of the belief that he is the best asset that the Lakers have. And if you can turn Anthony Davis into a first-round pick or multiple first-round picks, you've got to do it if you're the Lakers.
So at that point, as opposed to turning Anthony Davis into, say, two or three high-level role players that would give LeBron more depth, you're saying start the rebuild in real time with LeBron still on the roster.
Yes, I am.
Correct.
Well, roster. If nothing else, if you are looking to perhaps get LeBron's blessing to go all the way and to move him this coming offseason, that would be the way to do it.
Yeah, that is the trick. The trick is if you were to trade Anthony Davis, I would assume LeBron will want out after this season.
You would assume so, unless, you know, I mean, let's be honest, his coming to the Lakers, as much as he wanted to win, he did win a championship.
Yep.
I think he wanted to be a part of this organization and its history. It was first and foremost a lifestyle thing.
Yes, it was.
I mean, LeBron was a made man when he arrived here. He didn't have anything else to prove. He's already doing the next stage of his professional life in real time. Like, he's a legit Hollywood presence. He's got a House Party remake coming out.
Producing movies and television, The Shop. Exactly. I mean, everything.
Right. And you know, he's buying pickleball teams. Like, like LeBron.
Everybody owns a pickleball
team. And in the meantime, too, his two sons are very focused on basketball prospects in their own right. They're playing at Sierra Canyon. I'm sure, you know, his youngest daughter, L.A., is probably all she knows.
Yeah.
I doubt the family wants to move. So it could be really interesting to figure out if LeBron would actually say, move me, or I'll ride this thing out to the end of this season.
Yeah.
And then what do you do?
Right. I mean, I don't know. It's probably not a lottery team that's going to trade for Anthony Davis. It's probably a team that's more in contention that thinks that's the guy that can put us over the top. So you're unlikely to get into the Wembanyama sweepstakes.
Well, the Lakers can't get in the Wembanyama sweepstakes.
Well, no, if they were to make Anthony Davis trade and get a first-round pick for this coming draft.
Well, they have their pick, but it's a pick swap.
It's a pick swap. It's going to New Orleans.
Yeah, I was thinking about this before, like when I believe it was Bill Simmons with The Ringer had said in a podcast that he had heard some chatter that Anthony Davis, you know, would he get traded, that sort of thing. And I was trying to figure out what the Lakers would do, because if they were looking to trade AD to try to build this team now, like try to get better this season,
right,
your options become really limited, because almost by definition, you can't trade them in the West because you're chasing those teams in the West. So you don't want to possibly get them better. So you start thinking about where are the teams in the East where he would actually make sense. It becomes limited. But if you're thinking purely in terms of a rebuild, your options and your flexibility might start opening up more if you are willing to commit to that. And the Lakers have been famously resistant as hell to ever do anything that approaches a rebuild.
Well, you know what Ireland says? Star-driven town.
Star-effing-driven town.
That is as fired up as I've ever seen John Ireland.
He gets so fired up in those moments. I actually really like
it. His face gets so red.
It does, because he's so mad. It's usually at Travis, too.
He is really mad at Travis all the time.
All the time.
Right.
Because Travis actually likes to tell the truth, so he says what he's actually feeling.
Right.
And he just doesn't like it.
No, doesn't like it at all.
Well, so we don't want to do these things. We all like Anthony Davis. We all like LeBron. But at the same, we're not going anywhere. Well, nothing is happening. You need to start moving forward.
That's the question, ultimately, that you need to be asking. Do you feel like the Lakers have gotten the most they will ever get out of the LeBron AD combination? Like, has that window, if not shut, is it moving in the direction of shut?
Definitely it is. I mean, LeBron is still a spectacular athlete. He's now tipped into the descending phase of
his
career.
This is the other half of the question that I think the Lakers have to be asking themselves in terms of figuring out what they'll do. Is LeBron still at a level where it is worth moving in all your chips to build around him?
Right.
Like, is he still that guy? Is he still unquestionably a top five player?
So as the other part is, too, because now he's out with a groin injury, right?
Right.
Right.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, LeBron out tonight, Lonnie Walker probable tonight, and
Anthony Davis
AD
is
questionable with illness, non-COVID illness.
Non-COVID illness, right. But we already saw what happened when he injured the same part of his groin a couple of years ago, and he was out for a very long time. It started off the same way. Oh, he's doubtful. We're going to see what kind of happens. And then he was out for months. And he already only plays about 55 games in a season anyway.
Saying. Like, is LeBron still at a level where you can justify is it more about building around him, or is it more about he needs help? Because, you know, the idea before used to always be that you'd put these other pieces around LeBron, and LeBron could always figure out a way to make it work.
Right.
Now it's starting to be more about he needs help. How much help does he actually need? How much help can you actually provide him? Will you be able to give him enough help? Is he still at the level where it feels like putting all of your resources, and the Lakers have very little in the way of resources, is it still worth it now?
And the story you started with, it's Chris Haynes, right? Chris Haynes is saying basically players want something done and the front office is resistant to do anything.
Well, you know, there's that narrative, like the idea that if you have LeBron on your team, you are automatically obligated to always be all in, or like the idea that LeBron signed his extension with some type of tacit understanding from Rob Pelinka that they would move those first two picks. And the reality is you can't do your business just like that. It can't just be like, well, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Right.
If the move doesn't actually make sense. Like, you don't want to be doing this just for performative reasons, whether you're performing for LeBron or you're performing for the fan base. Like, it has to make sense.
So I guess the question is, and Bergman, at 3 o'clock, I want to take a couple calls on this.
How dare you on Friday? That's fine.
Reinforce.
It's Friday.
Reinforce or rebuild? Reinforce or rebuild? Because I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Coming up next for you is Bobcat. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
It Friday.
Thank you very much, Chris Amanda. All right, so what we do on Fridays is I'm going to just go through the things on your list that you didn't get to.
All right, good.
All right, so here's one. UCLA was a 25.5-point favorite over Sacramento State the other day and led by 24 with seconds to go. Instead of dribbling out the clock like most teams do in that situation, they dunked it with less than a second to go to cover the spread. Do you think they knew?
So I don't want to suggest something diabolical here.
But
it is interesting. You normally dribble the ball out, right?
Right.
You let the clock wind down and you don't dunk on the other. And it did cover the spread. See, I think there is an appearance of impropriety, although I don't think there was any.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say they were thinking about the spread, and I also don't think that's diabolical or impropriety. Like, if anything, it's selfless. They're thinking about the people that put down the money on the spread, and they're covering it.
Yeah, but they're not thinking about the people who...
Well, somebody always is going to lose.
Right, I mean, yeah, one side is going to get screwed no matter what.
Thing. The people that put down the money on the spread, them covering, those were the people that believed in them. So they want to pay off the people who actually believed in them. It's their way of saying thank you for their belief.
Bergman, do you think there's anything sneaky going on?
No, I think it has more to do with the end of the year, where it's like they cover the spread every single time down the stretch, where at the end of the year when it gets to the to March Madness, it's like, oh, they cover the spread every single time. They beat this team by this much.
So you
much.
Think they know the spread? I guess if you're an athlete, do you look at the spread if you're an athlete?
No, it's in the paper. You can find it on your
phone. I mean, just go to...
I mean, SportsCenter. We talk about this stuff all the time. Like the ATS, you know, those numbers are always out there.
Right.
I'm sure they're aware of it. And you know what? They probably, in a lot of ways, use the spread as bulletin board material. Like, oh, we're only getting these, you know, this much of a spread. Like, they don't believe in us.
5.5 is a lot.
Yeah, but... athletes turn everything into a slice.
Sure. No, I think you're absolutely right. But look, here, I use the score. That's the app I use to look at all the different scores. And I open it up. It says Long Beach State at UCLA, 19.5-point favorites. It's right there as soon as I open it.
Boy, it's so with, and obviously we voted down.
It was dumb.
Voted down gambling on your phone and gambling at the Indian casinos and stuff like that. But in a world where you can bet on your phone, is there not a real danger of... I mean, and I'm not saying it happened here, but is there not... Aren't we not cruising towards some point-shaving scandal?
I mean, they used to happen before you could do any of this stuff.
And now somebody can just press on their phone and make a bet.
If somebody want, but you still have to have the players' involvement. If you have players willing to do this, it doesn't matter the era that we're talking about
right.
or the technology. You're either willing to do it as a player or you're not.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that that went on here.
No, of course
all.
Not.
But I do think gambling opens the door to some sort of scandal, point-shaving scandal at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Bobcat.
All right, so this next one you have on here, it says, scientists just discovered a planet-killer asteroid that could eventually collide with Earth.
No.
Don't look up. What are you talking about with this?
So they've discovered an asteroid that is apparently going to hit Earth in 1,000 years. So what do we do to prepare for something that's going to happen in 1,000 years?
It is so adorable that you think this planet is still going to be around in 1,000 years.
Oh, you think so?
Steve.
You think we're gone? We're goners?
So gone. I don't even know if we're going to make it to like 2030.
Jeez, I thought Michael Thompson was the negative one.
Yeah, that's really negative. So you think there will be no Earth in 1,000 years?
I'm taking the under on that one.
Hold on. Lindsay, you watch all these documentaries. Will the Earth be around by 2030?
No chance.
Wow. No chance?
Off of the documentaries or just because you think that?
Wait, I thought you said by 2030.
By 2030, yeah, that's in 2030
is 8 years. Of course, 7 years, and 8 years. Don't you think?
In 8 years, I think so. I think like 20 years. Like we're not. Greg, you and I will not live to see our 70s.
No,
really.
I mean, you guys don't realize that like there's not going to be any water left for human consumption in like
1,000 years.
20 years.
1,000 years. Think. I mean, I don't want to take this show into two.
I mean, you kind of are.
Much of climate change, baby. Like it ain't steering in the right direction for 1,000 years.
Lindsay doesn't think. You don't think you and Greg will see? You think you'll see the end?
Yeah, I do.
Oh my God!
Wow.
If not us, then our kids.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
There's no chance Earth will still exist in 1,000 years. Like, no way. Like, have you seen how much the Earth has, like, gone to crap in the past 100 years?
Yeah.
Well, don't worry about your credit scores, kids.
We're definitely.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
You start spending money.
We're definitely moving. You know, every species goes extinct, but I didn't expect it to be.
The trending arrow is moving down.
Wow. Crypto's going down. The world's going down.
Yeah.
Where are we?
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge, what you got? To top that.
It Friday.
So we were talking about TikTok, and Lindsay earlier said that she watches TikTok for certain things. I watch it for, like, recipes and stuff. And I try some things out. What is it that you've learned from TikTok?
What have I learned from TikTok? My mom gets recipes on TikTok.
Yeah, me too.
He's off Facebook.
I don't think I've learned. I mean, I've learned that I can find interesting bits for the show, you know, like this girl.
I do not want to work for the rest of my life. Does it look like I want to get up at 6 a.m. every day for the next 60 years? No, I'm too pretty for that.
That's the kind of stuff I use from TikTok. I'm not picking up home repairs.
No. How to change a battery from a smoke alarm?
No, didn't do that. I know TikTok can be very useful. I spend very little time on it until I see there's a viral trend, and then I go to see what it's about.
Lindsay, what kind of things do you see on TikTok that you kind of take from?
I use TikTok to find outfit ideas.
See?
Really?
It's useful. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I'm really bad at putting together outfits, and I have like an impulsive clothing buying problem.
Okay.
So I buy all these cute clothes, and then I don't know how to style them. So I just go on TikTok and I look up like fall outfit ideas.
Really?
Yeah. And I've tried a new one every day this week.
I should do a TikTok account myself, and because you got to match the Lakers hat with the Lakers hoodie, the Rams hat with the Rams hoodie.
That sounds like how my dad puts together his outfit. And I'm not kidding.
Pretty much all I got. Pretty much all I got.
By the way, this is just a little update for the show for next week. We're going to have a guest on Wednesday at 1:30 by the name of Freddie Prinze Jr.
Hey!
Oh! See? It's not me.
Nice!
It's no Larry King.
No. We were just talking about
the rotary phone.
Freddie wouldn't come on the show because of me, is what they were saying, and I got him on, so therefore it's not me anymore.
In studio?
No,
he's got,
I think he's going to be on the phone. He's got that
Hallmark movie.
Hallmark. No, it's a Netflix movie.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Me,
no, just it premieres this weekend. Juan and I are going to watch that tonight.
I'll watch it. Nice.
Yeah, I like a good Freddie Prinze Jr. movie.
Bobcat.
All right. So this one says, which I'm really excited for. Actually, I love these. McDonald's is bringing back the breakfast bagel sandwiches.
Yes, it is happening. Andy, this was your story. Take us through it.
Yeah, there's one with steak in there. I believe there's another one, like a steak patty. There's another one with a sausage patty. And basically my reaction was, you know, tired Egg McMuffin wired McDonald's bagels breakfast sandwiches.
They're so good. They used to have them. They were delicious.
So I had a trainer, somebody that I saw for, you know, training and whatnot. And he said that the perfect breakfast is an Egg McMuffin. It's got the right amount of calories, the right amount of protein, the right amount of carbs. Like, it's a perfect. If you get a bagel, you're talking about a lot more bread and a lot more carbs, and you're talking about a steak patty. All of a sudden, because it's out of control.
Well, I was going to say the Egg McMuffin is sneaky, not terrible for you.
Oh no, it's actually pretty good for you.
You know, the breakfast bagel is a little more decadent, particularly if you start getting the old, like, old-time steak and eggs thing.
Yes.
Like, it's a very, like, 1920s type breakfast.
Right.
I was actually bringing this up because I never realized McDonald's ever did a breakfast bagel. I was wondering if you guys had ever had it.
Yeah.
You've had it?
I did. I used to get it all the time. It was delicious.
Yeah, they're bringing them back.
I was upset when they was gone.
You know, I heard the promo for the McRib. Shedano and the McRib is disgusting.
McRib is delicious.
I heard a promo for the Shedano and Cappy show today, and they were talking about their weight. And it made me think, you know what? I think about trying to cut weight every single day of my life. I put everything into that Lose It app. Here's what I'm eating. I tried Noom, you know, where they have these talks that they give you about food. I mean, do you don't have to think about it.
Not really, no.
You're just a thin person.
I have a high metabolism. I've always had it. I mean, I eat pretty healthy. I mean, in all honesty, not perfect, but I'm a fairly conscientious eater that way just because my dad, who's always taken incredible care of himself.
Right.
He had a heart attack about 25 years ago.
25 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
he cleaned up?
He cleaned up. Well, there was nothing really for him to clean up. It was funny. The hospital put him on a diet, and the diet they put him on was less healthy than his personal diet.
Seriously?
Well, because he always ate super healthy. But this thing was a wake-up call for me because at the time, you know, I was a heavier drinker. I was a smoker. I didn't exercise enough, and I was like, okay, if he had a heart attack,
right,
and he's taking great care of himself, I'm in a lot of trouble. So one of the things that I really did was just start eating healthier in general.
Right.
But I have a high metabolism. I just don't put on weight.
You're lucky. Lucky as hell. Bergman, do you think about your eating right often?
Yes, I do every day. Every time I'm about to eat something, I think, you know what? I shouldn't eat this because I'm going to start gaining all that weight back that I just lost.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, man. It's hard. I'm not blessed with a fast metabolism. I'm blessed with a really slow metabolism.
How'd you describe your family yesterday?
Livestock.
Bobcat.
That'll do it.
Okay. My apologies to my family.
You look like the what? At a wedding? You look like what?
A sausage
stuffed into a tuxedo. All right, coming up next for you, I put this out there. Okay, so Chris Haynes says that Lakers players, principals, I assume LeBron and AD, want reinforcements. Let's bring in more talent. Let's get more people around us. Let's make a run this year. The indication, again, according to Chris Haynes, is the front office is resistant to that. Don't have that idea. Might need that 27 pick. Might need that first round pick in 2029. So the question is, should the Lakers go for reinforcements or a rebuild? Reinforcements or a rebuild? 877-710-ESPN. We'll do one round of calls. 877-710-ESPN. We'll do that coming up next for you. And I'm trying to decide what to do this afternoon after the show. I want to bounce it off you. Mason Ireland, Andy's in for John, 710 ESPN.